Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved immortal beings, and good-looking people. And be good-looking, always looking for and finding the good. We found good in abundance. And a happy new year. That's right. This is the holiday time. And you're about to listen to, in the next 23, 24 minutes, some of the most interesting, unknown, secret, and fascinating insights into New Year's, calendars, and how we got here. Isn't that amazing? Yes, the world will be a much more interesting place. You'll be able to share with family and friends insights into calendars that you had no idea about. And that's because most people don't, but you will. So this is really wonderful. My name is Barry Shore. I'm the Ambassador of Joy, and you're listening to the Joy of Living radio show, broadcast throughout the United States of America on 17 radio stations, reaching 3 million people, and then shared around the world via the internet, touching another 10 million people. So people are going to be learning something interesting. I urge you to share this with your friends and family. Maybe if you can't share this actual radio show, then tell people, or urge people to tune in on these particular days that we broadcast, because you just keep learning. And learning is one of the most important aspects of living well. If you want to do anything in life, anything that will make a better you, make you happier, healthier, and wealthier, is to become a lifelong learner. That's it, triple L, lifelong learner. So I'm going to urge you to do two things. Again, in honor of the new year and in honor of you being happier, healthier, wealthier. One, learn to take action. Take action right now when I urge you to go to my site, www.barryshore.com, BARRYSHORE/ebook. That's right. You are going to get at no cost to you a copy of my transformational ebook. $14.95 is what it sells for. But we have a couple that's underwritten the distribution of 100,000 copies. Why? Because they understand how important this is for you, for humanity. You can make a difference. You can go mad. So I urge you, go there, www.barryshore.com/ebook. Do it now. And now listen in and become a lifelong learner, because there's much ado about something. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking. You're always looking for and finding the good. The good is Happy New Year. Happy New Year with confetti and horns blowing and fancy hats and drinking and watching something happen in Times Square at midnight and all over the world. But when is New Year? Well, of course, Barry, New Year is on January 1st, isn't it? Well, it is, and it isn't. We're talking about New Year, January 1st, on the calendar that is ubiquitous today around the world, but it is not the only calendar that is in existence. Matter of fact, there are many calendars in existence and many different New Years. If you were to be asked, and I'm asking you, to pick a time, a season, when New Year would be most appropriate, I don't think you would say, well, January 1st, in the middle of the beginning of winter, not the middle of winter, the beginning of winter. Winter just started December 21st in the Northern Hemisphere. And if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, summertime. So why should that be New Year? Matter of fact, if I asked you, you would probably say springtime is a good time for New Year. And you'd be more than correct. Might even say that fall is a good time for New Year. And you'd be more than correct, because many of the ancient calendars, and we're not talking about going back more than 3,500 years, but we're talking about the ancient calendars, and even some of the more modern ones from the past 1,000, 1,500 years, understand that the springtime or the
vernal equinox in the fall are much more appropriate for a new year. January 1st is rather odd, isn't it? Well, let's discuss for the moment, and then in the next section, part two, we'll discuss the difference between the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar. Now, Gregorian calendar, you're probably familiar with from Gregorian chants, but Gregory was a pope. And that pope, because of an argument with Henry VIII, ended up changing the entire calendar for Western Europe, or the areas that Europe controlled, called Christendom, and shifted many days to accommodate something that was happening in the calendar. But let's just take a look right now at January 1st. Two interesting little insights. Number one is that December 25th, what we just talked about, I'm curious about Christmas, occurred on the 25th of the month of December. Now, the month of December, for those of you who know something about Latin, or if you don't, you know that DEC, Deca, stands for the number 10. Now, that's interesting because November, NOV, stands for number 9. October, OCT, stands for number 8. September, SEPT, stands for number 7. But wait a minute. Isn't December the 12th month and November the 11th and October the, 10th and September the 9th? How did that happen? Why are we calling December the 12th month when it really means the 10th month? And that's because in the Roman calendar, which did control most of the known world back in ancient Roman times, predating what we call the calendar that we have today, which we call BCE and BC and CE, BCE before the common era, before the Christian era, and CE meaning the common era or the Christian era, then the Roman calendar had only 10 months, thus September, October, November, December. It was the Julian calendar in the time of Julius Caesar that made an evolution and a revolution. But let's put that aside for just one moment, talk about December 25th, which, as we said before, was a time called Saturnalia. It was the few days after the winter solstice when the shortest day of the year occurred. And just a few days later, everybody noticed that, yes, there is more sunlight, just a little bit, but there is more. And that was cause for celebration. When the Christian church became the dominant religion of the then declining Roman Empire, which is around the year 300 plus minus, then December 25th became a very important time to declare the bringing of light to the world in the form of the Messiah, Jesus. Now, if Jesus is born on the 25th, Jesus was a Jew. Everybody agrees to that. Jesus was a Jewish boy. All Jewish boys have what's called a circumcision, a brit milah, to use the Hebrew term, a circumcision on the eighth day of their existence. So 8 days after December 25th is, drumroll, fanfare, da-da-da-da, January 1st. Ah! Imagine the whole world celebrates December 21st for the birth of one Jewish boy. All right, you understand that because Jewish mothers are certainly celebrating the birth of their boy, and he's going to be a doctor or lawyer or Messiah. And then on 8 days later, he has his circumcision. That's January 1st. Now, it coincides, it's coincidental, but it's something to be aware of. The other piece I just want to make mention to everybody, and we'll talk about again in the second part, is that there are many calendars coexisting with the calendar that we have now. There's a Chinese New Year, as everybody knows. There's a Hindu New Year. There's the Japanese New Year, interesting, has a little bit of a history we should talk about. There's a Burmese New Year. And most of the calendars, and of course a Muslim New Year, most of the other calendars do use the springtime or the vernal equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. We're calling that the spring and autumn or fall, because we're mostly talking about the Northern Hemisphere, as the demarcation designated time for a new year, but to be taken up in part two. So for the moment, I urge everybody, celebrate January 1st, know a little bit more what it's about, and we're going to do parts two, parts three, and we'll learn more about calendars and New Year's, and you're going to be fascinated by what happens with Henry VIII and how he changed everything, maybe for the better, maybe not. We'll see. Okay, best wishes, everybody. Go forth. Live exuberantly. Spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking. You're always looking for and finding the good. We want to find good. I'm curious about New Year's. Is it always January 1st? Has it always been this way? Well, the simplest answer is, of course, no. It's been this way for a long time, but long is a relative term, isn't it? So we're going to meet a few interesting personalities, and you're going to find out that the calendar, which you thought was set, wasn't always. And the power of one person to bring about change is quite amazing. We're going to start with Julius Caesar. Everybody's heard Julius Caesar. His interesting initials, by the way, JC, very fascinating. We can talk about that another time. But Julius Caesar was really in power around what we call the year 40 before the Common Era. So just over 2,000 plus years ago. And he recognized at the time, as did the entire Senate and the population, that the civic calendar and the, we will call the ceremonial calendar, were out of sync by about 10, 12, 13 days. So what he did, things never change in politics. He issued a commission to study the situation. And they went, they found the greatest astronomer in the time, who was a Greek astronomer living in Alexandria. And he proposed the calendar situation that rings true to us today, which is 12 months, 30 days or 31 days in each one of the 12 months, with February as 28th, but never a February 29th, because you would have a leap year, and that would be February 29th every 4 years or so. And that was adopted. Now, by the way, at the same time, in addition to having a new calendar and setting everything straight, two things happened. Number one, Julius says, wait a minute, one of those months should be called after me. And it was dubbed July. That's how we have July. And of course, July was a month of 31 days, because you couldn't have more than 31, and you didn't want to be less than, you know, a regular person. So 31 days in July. And the new year began on March 25th, because that makes the most sense. I mentioned before, springtime is a time of renewal. That is a good time for having a new year. So that was the way things were for many hundreds of years. Let's call it 1,500 plus years. But around the year 1527, 1530, 40 plus minus around there, the Catholic Church was then completely dominant in Europe, which we're talking about is the source of our calendar situations. The Pope recognized that everything was out of sync again by about 10 days or so. And the key for the calendar in the Catholic Church, as in any religious organization, is religious holidays. And everything in the Catholic Church revolved around Easter time, because that's really the time of renewal, rebirth, and the emergence of Jesus as the messianic being. And so it wasn't January 1st. So what, again, a commission was brought together to say, what are we going to do with the calendar? And we are now going to issue a new calendar, says the current Pope, Gregory XIII. But here's what gets really fun. So put on your seatbelt, hold on. Around the year 1527 or so, there was a king in England. His name was Henry, Henry VIII. Yes, that remarkable, interesting being. And he married a number of wives, but his first wife, Catherine, was Catholic, and so was Henry. But he didn't want to be married to her any longer because she could not produce a male heir. Yes, he was sexist, leave that all aside. So he wanted to divorce Catherine. The Pope wouldn't let him. He secretly married Anne Boleyn, and the Pope excommunicated him. So he said, pshaw, I don't hold by you, Pope. And I now am the ruler of the Kingdom of England, and I'm in charge of the Church of England. And Parliament went along with him and created the Supremacy Act, which meant that the king had the power. He was supreme, and he now led the Church of England, the Anglican Church, which, by the way, is mimics in almost everything the Catholic Church, but it was run officially by Henry. So when along came later the Pope Gregory to say, hello, we have a new calendar. And this was in 1582. And we're changing the new year from March 1st to January 1st. And we're shifting everything a number of days and everything's going to align again. And we know what to do and make sure it's going to last for eternity. Well, England said, no, thank you. What do you mean? England said, no, thank you. That's right. They opted out. They did not accept the Gregorian calendar. Now, this is going to pose an interesting dilemma, which we'll talk about in the next section, because over the next couple hundred years, things got out of sync again. Could you imagine sending a letter from London dated, let's say, December 29th of the particular year, call it 1700, and getting to Paris a few days later, but already by that time, Paris was 11 plus days ahead. So communication is very difficult. And in addition to that, the Greek Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church, which are almost the same, decided also not to adhere to the Pope's calendar and maintained the Julian calendar. So you're talking about vast swaths of earth and hundreds of millions of adherents, not all adhering to the same calendar. So we're going to leave it right here for the moment. But suffice it to say, a new calendar comes along and it says that January 1st is the New Year's and not March 25th, which, by the way, a lot of people also celebrated April 1st as New Year. We'll talk about that next time. That's where the whole idea of April Fools came along. And in the next part, we'll tie it all together and give you a package that you'll enjoy. You can tell over whoever wants to listen when you celebrate New Year's. So our blessing to you is go forth, live exuberantly, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking. Trouble looking for and finding the good. We found good. Where did we leave our intrepid heroes? Do you remember? Oh, my gosh. Julius Caesar revamped the Roman calendar, which controlled Rome, controlled most of the then, quotation marks, known world, what we call the European area and all of North Africa. And that was in the year, let's say, almost 2,000 plus years ago, 40 before the Common Era. And he added a month, changed the name of a month, called July, 31 days. Okay. Fast forward now another 1,500 plus years, and the system that was used was off by about 10 days. What do you mean off? Well, that meant that springtime was coming not where it should be, because springtime had to be around Easter. Easter was tied to what the Jewish holiday called Passover was, and a full moon at a certain time, and the calendar was used, a religious calendar. So Gregory convened a committee, a commission, it's always politics, no matter if it's a church or not, and decided, okay, we're going to revamp, we're going to fix it, we are going to add leap years, and not just every 4 years will be a leap year, it'll be February 29th, and the century, all the things that we have built in today, and declared, this is the new calendar. Well, prior to that, in 1582, Henry VIII had taken England out of the Catholic Church. So now this new calendar did not apply to England. So England went on its own. Now that in 1582, okay, it's one thing. Most of Europe was under the Catholic sway, but also there was the Protestant Revolution. Now they still kept to the new calendar, Gregorian calendar. Remember, the far eastern parts of Europe, such as Russia and such, did not. They had the Greek Orthodox Russian Church, and England did not. Fast forward now a couple hundred years, 1582. And now you're in, let's call it the year 1750. You hear this? 1750. England has a vast empire outside of the United Kingdom, a small island nation, controlled all of the colonies in America, in India, many islands in the, what we call today the West Indies and in the East Indies and all around the world, they were still using the Julian calendar. They didn't hold by the Pope. But it became a little bit more difficult because now there's 11 days separating the continent, as it were, from England. So correspondence becomes very difficult. And it was finally decided in 1752, yes, 1752, that England was going to join the now dominant calendar system and adopt three things. Number one, the new calendar. So that means you're going to have to fast forward 11 days. So this applies to America. George Washington was born on February 11th, 1752, 1725, old calendar. But when he had to go and now, when the new calendar came, he didn't fight against it. He now made his birthday February 22nd. So you look it up, you'll see February 22nd, 1725. All right, so people lost. Where are my 11 days? You didn't lose anything. But the point is now that everything shifted and the calendar was now celebrating January 1st as New Year, January 1st, not March 25th, which it had done until 1582. So this is interesting because March 21st was to be the few days after the spring equinox, and that was the beginning of the new year. But all really people were celebrating on April 1st. Remember, just like December 25th and 8 days later or 7 days later, depending on how you count, is the new year. So too, March 25th and April 1st. But people who kept celebrating April 1st were called April Fools. Okay, that's one of the origins. So now we have New Year's Day as January 1st throughout UK, all its colonies, throughout Europe. The only hold at the moment now is Russia under the czars. So as you see that Russia did not conform to the Gregorian calendar until 1919. Yes, only when you overthrew in the communist revolution, 1917, you overthrew the czars. Now they threw everything away, said, we don't want anything to do with the czars anymore, anything they had, and we're now joining the European process. And they adopted the Gregorian calendar, except for the Greek Orthodox Church and the Roman Orthodox Church, which, by the way, numbers over 330 million people in their adherence. So in the Greek Orthodox calendar, Christmas is celebrated on January 7th. New Year's is celebrated on January 14th. Again, 7 days apart or 8 days, depending how you count. And remember, it's all because that one little Jewish boy. And when a Jewish boy is born, 8 days later, you have what's called a Brit Milah or a circumcision. Amazing, but it's all true. That's the beauty of it. And by the way, go back to the Julian calendar. When Julius Caesar was dispatched, killed, died, gone, and rose up another emperor from him named Augustus. So guess what Augustus said? Wait a minute. I don't get a month. If Julius had one, certainly I do. He's gone. I'm here. So now you know why we have August. And it's 31 days. He couldn't make 32 because that'd be, nobody would stand by that. It'd be too weird. So he kept it at 31. But at least he was at least equal to, if not better than, he ruled much longer than Julius Caesar. So there you have it. New Year's Day is really January 1st, according to the Gregorian calendar, made many changes over the millennia, but that's the nature and the evolution of time. And we'll be talking about I'm curious about time in another segment, but I thought you'd enjoy it. So when you have your party hat on and you're whatever you make noise with and such like that, you toast to the new time of year. Just be aware that January 1st is just a day, but it's a pivotal day to make resolutions that will be beneficial to you, to your family, to your friends, and to all living beings. So our blessing is go forth, live exuberantly. Spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Well, that was quite amazing, wasn't it? All the things you learned, but I would urge you to do the following. I know you have to only hear it once, but
just jot down right now the three most interesting points that you didn't know before, or if you knew them, then reinforce it, and then share them at the parties that you're going to go to over the following few days in celebration, celebrating New Year's, because it's fun. F-U, capital N, capital N. So on that note, we want to follow up and really invite everyone that's listening. And there are tens of millions, actually not tens of, there's about 12 million people listening. We invite everyone, take action, get a copy of my ebook at no cost, www.barryshore.com/ebook. Get it, read it, use it, be transformed. Every day of the coming year is a new opportunity for you. Something enabling you to shift your perspective. Remember what we say, oh, shift. You got to be effing careful with those F's or the other stuff happens. Oh, shift. So our blessing is go forth, live exuberantly, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Happy New Year. Go make a difference.
Beautiful bounce with beloved immortal beings and good looking people. Good looking, she always looking for and finding the good. You found good in abundance on Insider Tips, where you share in things that you should know about life, and especially now with the holidays coming up. And we are privileged to have with us today Dr. Erica Rajor. She is the Chief Financial Wellness Advisor at a wonderful company called Beyond Finance. So first of all, welcome, Dr. Rajor.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here because we're going to discuss something that touches everybody during the holidays. Let's be blunt. The holidays are a season of joy and generosity. And guess what also happens? Huge financial pressure, guilt, and growing debt. Ah! Did you hear me? So you are going to be able to help us. So let's go right to the issue. What are the main emotional triggers that are driving people to overspend on the holidays?
Well, you are right that this is a huge, huge, huge thing and trigger for a lot of people. And we know that because of our survey. You know, our survey showed that, you know, overspending is deeply emotional, with 65% of people unsure of even how much is safe to spend this holiday season. People want to create joy and avoid disappointment from loved ones and, of course, keep up with family traditions, even if it strains their finances. Two-thirds of Americans feel this just overwhelming pressure to overspend, even amid, you know, rising financial challenges. You know, guilt giving is showing up, and FOMO spending is making its way too. In fact, over 52% of the people we talked to told us that they've bought gifts purely out of financial or the feeling of obligation, spending over $250 already just on the guilt giving portion of their holiday spending. And so when you look at the big picture here,
I want everybody to go to a site called Beyond Finance, beyondfinance.com, beyondfinance.com, because let's be blunt, Dr. Rajor, the key here is learning to be able to say no while you say yes. Yes is, I love you, let's have joy. And no, there is no need to overspend. Is that correct?
I think what we need to look at, and this is something I say to everybody, you know, no one cares about your money as much as you do. Money is a very, very much inside job. And one of those things does require sometimes setting good boundaries and having conversations with people in your life, and really aligning with your values instead of other people's. That way you can prioritize your money and what is important to you to take care of your finances. It's an act of financial self-care.
So let's go back to what you just said, because it's genius. No one cares about your money more than you. So we're talking now about aligning values. Again, I want people to really avail themselves of great information at a site called beyondfinance.com, beyondfinance.com. Tell us, if you'd be so kind, two simple steps that people can take right now to avoid debt and at the same time keep holiday spending under control.
My number one piece of advice is pause before you purchase. Put some space between you and that cart, whether it's in a store or online. Give yourself some space and begin to notice if there are any emotional triggers there that exist that, you know, will result in impulse spending or comparison spending or anything that's unnecessary. It's putting a good guardrail up for yourself. The second thing is, you know, remembering that at the end of the day, you are the one who is in charge of your finances, just like you were saying, and you define it. And when your values, what you hold near and true and prioritize for yourself, lead your spending versus, you know, all this external comparison or pressure from other people, you're going to naturally feel a little bit more joy and a lot less guilt this holiday season.
Wait a minute. I want to quote you on that. Ready? More joy, less guilt. Well, if there's anything that's more wonderful, is that. Again, go to beyondfinance.com, beyondfinance.com. Well, let's talk again a little bit about aligning values, because isn't that why people feel so guilty during this holiday season, is that they have values, and then for some reason, the alignment goes away when the urge to spend comes in, because let's be blunt, spending money is fun, isn't it?
It certainly can be. You know, I'm definitely in the camp of, you know, money should be fun. But when you are acting, I love what you just said, you know, it's an alignment issue. We can have values going in, but if we act in ways that are out of alignment with our values, if my financial value is stability and I'm consistently finding myself in that pattern of overspending, that's my cue to come back and notice that pattern and say, you know, I'm out of alignment here. And if I remain out of alignment, I'm not going to be able to meet my financial goals. And there's a certain awareness that has to be brought to that. And the more you can bring awareness to what your value is and your behaviors and saying, yes, this is in alignment or no, it helps you make choices. Everybody has a choice, don't they?
You know something, Dr. Rajur, I am just so happy to be sharing this with our audience. We have over 528,000 people around the world that are listening to you. And I believe that most of them are shaking their heads yes. And I urge everybody, shake your head yes, and make sure that you actually write down on a, I don't know, an index card, your three main values in life, and make sure that you understand that nobody cares about your money like you do, like Dr. Rajur just assured us, and go to beyondfinance.com. We only have 30 seconds more. Can you give us one, some big zinger before we leave you? 30 seconds is yours.
Yes. Protect your peace and your wallet. You do that by aligning your values. You pay attention to yourself. You prioritize yourself. You are the one who is in charge. You are in the driver's seat. And getting clear on your values helps you remember who you are at the core and helps you keep the values that are yours and get rid of the values that were given to you or inherited by you that no longer serve a purpose in your life.
So let's call them double P, protect and prioritize. Those are wonderful. Dr. Rajur, we have a wonderful audience. And when we finish up Insider Tips, we do a group hug around the world. Let me tell you what HUG stands for. You ready?
Yes.
Heartfelt, unlimited, giving of self, not money. Here we come. One, two, three. Thank you so much, Dr. Rajur. Best wishes.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.